Teaching from the Apostle Paul. He's writing now to a friend and one who he has mentored. The young lad's name was Timothy. Matter of fact, in the churches, in the Christian churches, quite frequently, we produce a young preacher. We call him a Timothy of that church. Joe, you're a Timothy of what? Griffith, where I preached. And then I'm from Broadway Christian, and several of you other preachers are here today have been sent out from other churches. So you understand that. Well, Paul chose this young man, quite like him, actually, because Timothy's father was a Gentile, most likely a Greek, and his mother was a Hebrew Jew. And he used him to do a lot of the travels and a lot of the work for him. We pick up from the end of last week in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 18, and we'll go on into chapter 2. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you might fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck in regard to the faith. Among them are Hermias and Alexander, whom I handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Lord God, teach us not to blaspheme. May our words be strong and true and faithful to the love of Christ and his love for us, that we may give you the honor and glory. Give us wisdom in our speech and our relationships with others and our going out and coming ins. We pray, Father, for our country, for the men and women who lead it. May it be led with faith, with the right attitude, and with Christ in mind. We pray for those who serve us on the battlefield and in the mission field as well. That you'll bless them and their caregivers and those who love them and worry and pray for them. May we support them well too. Be with our sick, our injured, those who are recovering and those who need therapy, and watch over them. We pray for us in our daily life because life seems to be getting harder and harder and more burdensome. Pray, Father, for the blessing upon this congregation, that it may serve you as far reaches around the world. Be with the speaker this day. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. My son, he calls him. Now, we don't think there's a bit of physical relationship between him. We do not think that Paul had a son named Timothy whatsoever. But yet he looked at him as one he's taught. You may have relationships like that where a young person has come into your life and you've been able to guide them and work them along and you consider them like family. I know that, quite honestly, I think it, at least in this case, Gaither is very correct, because I believe we are part of the family of God. And in that song that we sing from Hymn of Glory, it's very, very true. And Paul looked at Timothy that way. You may have grown up, been taken care of by someone, either a school teacher that you liked or a Cub Scout leader, Boy Scout leader, whomever it was that you looked up to and followed them. And so it's not that unusual that Paul would call Timothy his son. He's also a son in the faith. Somewhere along, maybe even Ephesus or one of the places where Paul stopped, Timothy heard him preach and was converted and then was given a job quickly. You know, you don't have to spend, I'm going to have to apologize to several of you in here. I know we have college professors in here and preachers and leaders. You don't have to spend 9 years in college to tell somebody about Jesus. Most of the people who were brought into the congregations, most of the people even in the New Testament, were not the professional preachers and teachers. They were people who loved Jesus and wanted to share that good news. And that should be a great example for us, that we love Jesus, we serve God, and we should share that good news of his love and grace. And in doing something, we're not putting the spotlight on us, we're putting the spotlight on him. I'm keeping this command and keeping with the prophecies once made about you. Timothy was sent to Paul. I truly, truly believe that there are times that God works it out, that people come into our lives or that we go into other people's lives for a distinct purpose. To give them aid, to give them assistance, to instruct them on the good things to do or maybe restrict them on the bad things that's for them, and to guide us along. Did you have a mentor in life somewhere along the line that you were growing up that you would not have been as successful as you are if you were not involved with that person? Thank God for that. For me, it was two preachers, neither one you've ever heard of, Wayne B. Smith and Marshall James Leggett, and Dr. Art Holwin as well. Now, if you're in Central Kentucky area, you know about those guys. Marshall was straight up and down. He was, matter of fact, He was the one who got me in the ministry. He's the one that married Becky and I. Marshall would take 2 weeks off to go to North Carolina, his hometown. He would write 50 sermons. He would memorize all 50 sermons. He would come back and he would preach all 50 sermons without a note in his hand or in his pocket. He was an absolute genius. Wayne B. Smith. I have been accused of being like Wayne B. Smith, short and fat, or deep and wide, I like to call it, actually, to get into the church music. He didn't use notes. He laughed half the way through. We have a professor from Cincinnati Bible College here today in homiletics. Homiletics means this is the way you're supposed to do it. Wayne was the example of how you're not supposed to do it. But he loved people. He laughed and they talked and worked together. And he was a good example as well. Then my baptizing preacher was Dr. Art Hoven. He was the voice of the Christian Hour for years and years and years. He was about 9 foot tall, had gray hair, spoke with the voice better than Charlton Heston, scared me to death. Because I thought when he talked, God was speaking through him, and I'd really believe it. We should find people like that, or even better yet, we need to be people like that, that can guide somebody else coming along that needed help like we did years before. And that was Timothy and Paul's relationship. Paul helped him get to where he needed to be as a young preacher, and Timothy did a lot of the physical work for Paul. He says, the prophecies, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. It was December 1941. Some of you may have been alive at that time. The rest of you should have well heard about it from your parents or grandparents. On that Sunday morning, when the Japanese Zeros flew across a place called the Pearl, we know it as Pearl Harbor now, in Hawaii, which wasn't even a state, it was a territory. And not much, many hours after that carnage, President Roosevelt declared war. And we were at war with the Japanese Army, Navy, Air Force, the German Army, Air Force, the Italians, I'm not sure what they did. They invented pizza, I think, but other than that, they were involved with the Axis, and we were at war. I guess some of you can remember the Korean conflict, when it was never declared as a war, but yet was a, hey, if you're shooting at me and I'm shooting at you, that's war. I don't care what the politicians call it. And I dare not go on without saying something about the Vietnam conflict. Again, there's guns, there's tanks, there's bombs. That's war. And then, of course, September the 11th, 2001. When the Muslim bombers of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon declared war on us. We've been at war a lot longer than those periods. And I'm not talking about the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. I'm talking about the war between man and Satan, goes on all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Satan lied and tricked Eve, and then Adam was involved in well, and the conflict between God and Satan started that has not yet ended. Now, Satan's been bruised, and he will be crushed one day and defeated by Christ himself and the grand armies of the angels. But yet we're in war every day. You have decisions that you've got to make. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Where should I go? How should I live? Who's my friends? Who's not my friends? There are a tremendous amount of relationship problems that we face daily. If it were not so, we wouldn't have Oprah and Dr. Phil and Dear Abby and Ann Landers. I mean, people are in conflict at all times. Yet we need to admit it, and that we get our help not from a book, not from I'm okay, you're okay type of a book. Not all these self-help books. Our help comes from Jesus Christ. And when we know that, we have the upper hand. Because we're not fighting the battle any longer by ourselves. We're having Jesus and all of his minions of angels on our side. But unless we admit that we're at war, we will get snuck up on, like Pearl Harbor, like New York City and all those things, and be involved in a conflict we're not prepared for. How do we get prepared? Know Jesus. And then know peace. I saw it on a bulletin board one time. K-N-O-W. Know Jesus. K-N-O-W. Peace. N-O, Jesus. N-O, peace. And we've got to understand that it comes from him. Now, are all of us going to be multiple billionaires? No. Are all of us going to be opera singers? No. Are all of us going to be some kind of star athlete or golf player or race car driver or book writer? All those things that people look at? No. But you know what all of us can be? Children of God. And boy, that's the best place to be. Because you got a home waiting on you. He says this, holding on to faith with a good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck in the faith. We're not the first people that's ever been tempted. We're not the first people that Satan's ever tried to whisper in your ear. That little joke about the little red devil on one ear talking to little white angel, that's about the way it is. Satan's always talking in your ear, tempting you. But you don't have to get, he cannot make you. Satan cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. We choose to follow him. Sometimes it's an easy choice and sometimes we follow. Or we can choose to follow Jesus and reject Satan, which can be an easy choice with help from Christ. Suffered shipwreck. Just heard of a young man who was killed in a car wreck. And I'm sure you know of people who have been in your life. And it is suffering time. It is hard for us. And things change. But in our faith, as hard as Satan works against us, we should never allow the shipwreck to happen. We should be looking forward. First time we came to Florida, I was in the sixth grade. Four kids and my parents sleeping in a little bitty room on a beach somewhere on the East Coast. Now, Kentucky, some of you been there, you know, 1,000 acres, 500 on each side of the hill. We were out there in the flat ground. And about every 30 to 45 seconds, boom, headlights came on me. And boom, headlights came on me. I did not know there was a big old building out there with a flashlight going around and around to tell the ships how to keep off the rocks. I was hoping he was not running on alkaline batteries and that flashlight would go out real soon. It did not. Then I figured if I turned the other way, I'd close my eyes, I wouldn't see it. What we've got to understand is somebody has come before us. Christ knows where the rocks are. He knows where the shallow places in the gulf is and where the deep places where it's been dredged out or we can travel. All he's got to do is convince us to follow him. He is our leader. He will get us there. He is our beacon. He is our lighthouse. What is that song by? Maybe 60, about 73, 75, 77, somewhere there. You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. Let's see if I can put that in English. You cannot be a lighthouse if the bright light isn't going out to the people. That's when you people from Indiana would understand that. I know they would. And he names two people who gave up their faith. And boy, the punishment sounds tough. I have handed them over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. They were going against Jesus. They were going against the Holy Spirit. They were speaking ill and denying the Holy Spirit. And without accepting the Holy Spirit, there is no hope of salvation. It comes to us at baptism. He goes on. I remember these are letters. These aren't. When Paul wrote it, he didn't say, chapter 2, Timothy, verse 1. Like we write today. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may have peaceful and quiet lives and all goodness and holiness. It is our privilege, it is our responsibility to talk to God. He's made a path. The old timers would say, we're the priesthood of all believers. You don't have to go to some professional to pray for you or pray through Mary or any kind of priest or potentate. It doesn't work that way. And we're supposed to present our petitions and our prayers, our intercessions straight to God. Intercessions when you pray for somebody else. Petitions when you ask to me for something for yourself. Prayers when you're thanking God. Without those, we don't have the connection. With those, the connection's already been made. And he says, what are some of the things we need to pray for? You cannot believe I'm going to say this. we'd pray for our government. And you better do a lot of praying between now and November the second Tuesday of the month or whatever it is, because this country needs help. Now, I'm not going to ask you to pray for one party or the other. I'm going to ask you to pray for wisdom and knowledge and good leadership. That if they cannot help us, at least they keep out of our way and let us worship God. Protect young unborn babies and those type of things. God hears the prayer of a faithful believer. Colin, that's your favorite scripture, isn't it? Yes, it is. I know. We need to be that person who is diligent and dedicated and faithful. When you say God's not hearing my prayers, item number one, you don't know, because the answer may be no and it may be the best thing for you. I wanted a 1965 Ford Mustang convertible Mach 1 with the fender and the big and boom, 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 boom. Well, my dad's first cousin owned a car dealership, a Ford dealership. And I said, Mr. Blackburn, I want, and I named that car Shelby. It was called a Shelby. It had that Cobra on it. He said, Dwight, you'll kill yourself. So Dad went out and bought me a Falcon with 200,000 miles on it. Sometimes the answer is no, and we're better off. Sometimes the answer is, wait a little bit. I might get you there, but you're not ready yet. And sometimes the answer is, I've been waiting. Why haven't you been asking? Girls, a lot of times you haven't gotten that ring you wanted for too long because you didn't tell him you wanted the ring. You got to put a little hint in there every so often. You know, make a cake in the shape of a ring. I don't know. But something like that. Prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. That is not one day of the year. That's every day. I say 24/7, but most of us take a little bit of a nap every once in a while. But we should be thankful for what God's done. If not, we're not accepting what he's done. We're saying, well, this would be better, but. Now, I've got a story, and half of y'all heard this story. I'm going to tell it again because the other half never heard it. Married at 18. She was 19, I'm 18. We're out in the middle of the country. No air conditioner, no nothing. I come home from work one day before we go back to college, and she walks up smiling with a big smile in a little sundress. She says, I made you some cookies. You've heard it, Jill. You want to tell the rest of the story? Oh, wonderful. They're oatmeal cookies, my favorite cookies. And I bit one and it crunched. I said, this is really good, honey. Just not the way my sister makes them. I did not have oatmeal cookies for 25 years. I just wasn't thankful enough. I hope God doesn't put us on a 25-year waiting list because we're really not thankful enough, but we deserved it. Oh, by the way, she did teach my daughter to make them. She made them from the age of 10 on. It still does. Prayers and thanksgivings. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives. That's the purpose of the government, to give us peace. So we can go about doing our lives. And we need to ask God that they have the wisdom to do that. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you what. UK basketball and politics, my two favorite things after church and pie. Pie is first. What was I going to say? Oh, we got some scallywags in both parties, or non-parties if you want to call it. We need to pray that God straightens them out. If not, it's our fault. By the way, I was not here Wednesday. I was doing my patriotic chore. I got called for jury duty. Boy, you can learn a lot by not doing nothing, just sitting and listening. That's enough. I don't want to get too deep. But I did get a thank you letter from the judge. I'm wearing my American tie, my USA flag tie. And when I walked in, the defense attorney said, that one ain't going to make it. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What a tremendous, is that not almost the gospel in one line? This is good is good and pleases God. You don't have to wear a bow tie or hip boots or anything else. You just have to listen and obey God, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Now, folks, you've got to know, if you watch any kind of television, if you look in the newspaper, look at the newspaper, the religious section and ads. See how many different volumes and types of churches there are. Look up on the internet. Just look up the word church. How many hundred different styles there are. Let me read to you from the book of Matthew. You've probably heard of Matthew, haven't you? Verse 16 of the 28th chapter, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him." They caught on. "Yet some doubted." Kidding me. You're kidding me. "They saw him on the cross. They saw him off the cross. They saw him go up into heaven. And they still are going to doubt him. Therefore," he said, "all the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now that's not, you know, they said in the A-Team movie, it ain't bragging if you can do it. Well, Jesus could do it. He had all authority. It's given to him. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Now, if anybody's got a different version, let me know. Those of you who went to Cincinnati Bible College know Mr. Lewis Foster, who helped translate the New Testament, Book of Luke and Book of Acts. And I haven't seen anything different even in his teaching that it doesn't say all people. "Make go disciples, make all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even the very end of the age." Christ wants everybody to be saved. I've been asked, why is he taking so long? Because I love Revelation. Some of y'all know we're going to get into Revelation fairly soon. I love Revelation. We may not get a chapter a week, but we're going to get it. Why is God waiting so long? Right there. He wants everybody to be saved, so he figures the longer he can wait until the time is right, until, quote, the fullness of time comes, the more we have to reach out. Think about how you would be if when you were baptized, he had already come and you didn't get a chance to. Or you lost a teacher. Or all churches were taken over like they are in a lot of communist and socialist countries. And there's no worship of God. You don't think there's a war going on? Follow what's going on in the Middle East. When the Christians over there are beheaded, are burned in their houses, are shot, their families are destroyed, degraded, because they won't give up Jesus. We don't have it tough. We might eventually. Individually do, but not as a nation yet. Pray for our leaders. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. "For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for peace." John chapter 14 is maybe my favorite chapter other than Revelation. He says something. Well, don't take my word of it. Let me give you his word of it. Let's see, I got John in this book. Most of us have John in their book. Chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in me, believe also. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you." I like King James there. I like the word mansions. "Has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." You're asking anybody for directions? First of all, you got to know where you're going. Well, Mr. Thomas, we have called him Doubting Thomas, no doubt. I said that, didn't I? Jesus said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you will know him and have seen him." We know the way. It's through Jesus. And we know the goal. It's called heaven. Where in the book of Revelation it says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. The church comes as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. Man, that sounds good. You're talking about taking a vacation. You know how long this vacation takes? Forever. And you know what? You ain't got a Timex and you ain't got a Rolex. You just got a place to be. How wonderful that is. Paul wants Timothy to give that advice. Paul's free right now. More than likely in the second book of Timothy, Paul will be in prison, maybe even facing death. But right now, Paul is free. He's given Timothy assignments. There is but one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. There was a song, oh gosh, 77, 78, called "O Buddha." Y'all remember that? Yeah, youth groups, you remembered it. O Buddha was a man many years ago. Well, you don't remember that one? Paula, one of these days, we'll at least have the words for it. Pam, you're not Paula, you're Pam. There's only one leader to God, and his name is Jesus the Christ. That's what we have to understand. Now, this has been a witness to the proper time. For this purpose, I'm appointing a herald, means a speaker, an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. A true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Well, most of us in here are Gentiles. I haven't seen any of y'all wearing a yarmulke. I don't know how many of y'all lit a Hanukkah tree. I mean, a menorah. Well, it's the same thing. You know, so he's talking to us. Get it together and get with Jesus. What do we do? That question was asked to Simon Peter in a great sermon on the day of Pentecost. What must we do? We want to be saved. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then walk 10 miles every day. Memorize the entire Bible. No, that's not in there, is it? I forgot. He made it pretty easy, didn't he? He's already done the work. Like a nail here and a nail here and a crown here and a nail on the feet. The work's been done. All we've got to do is accept that gift. To repeat that good confession, we call it that Simon Peter made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That's all we have to do. Our hymn of invitation decision gives us a chance to think about what God wants us to do and follow through whatever situation we are in our daily life. Miss Pam? 368,
God will take.
I didn't write it down. What number?
368.
368. Stand with me as Pam leads us in our closing hymn of invitation.
"368, God will take care of you." Oh, gotta switch it back. "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care.